This episode of The Summer of Stein on Rob Has a Podcast is sponsored by our friends over at ZipRecruiter. As anybody who works in Big Brother casting can tell you, finding good people can be really hard. But there's one place where you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses can connect to qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/survive. ZipRecruiter is going to send your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter will scan thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. And as the applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one of them and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/survive. That's ZipRecruiter.com/survive. That's SURVIVE. ZipRecruiter.com/survive. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Big Brother time, do you hear that sound? It's Eric Stein about to break things down. Watching the show for us 3 times a week. It's spilling truth on knowledge. Yeah, that's right. The Summer of Stein is back. I am Rob Cesternino. Very excited to reconnect with a man who I cannot wait to hear what he has to think about the last week and a half since we last spoke about this truly oofy season of Big Brother. Here is the great Eric Stein. Eric, how are you?
I am really excited to be back with you today. This is the podcast where dumb questions get asked and even dumber answers are given. And let me tell you, there has been a lot of dumb stuff happening in this house. So we are ready to roll today.
Never before has there been a season, because we've just started this during Big Brother 20, and there was actually a lot of good stuff going on.
Oh, yes, we are a far cry from last summer, and last summer had its share of laughs, but we are on a whole other level right now.
Yes. Okay, Eric, before we get into Big Brother stuff, how are you doing?
I am doing well. I do have a public service announcement. Yes. For the fandom at large, okay? I think that we have spiraled out of control here. This is a real hate watch going on for everyone, okay? I see a lot of negativity both inside of the house and out, and I think we have lost the script here. We're focused on what we do not like and what is bothering us, which is plentiful. So I'm going to give us a task here today, a challenge, if you will, to remember what it is that we love about this show in the first place and embrace it. So I'm going to give you one of two options to kick this off. I'm going rogue right off the beginning. And I either want to task us with each saying 3 things that we loved about Big Brother in the last week and a half, or 1 nice compliment about every cast member.
Wow. So that's what we're doing, or that's what you're asking social media to do?
That is what we are going to do to then inspire the rest of the audience to remember that we love this show. We do not hate this show, or we bare minimum love to hate this show.
Okay. Do you want to go through the whole cast? Are we doing that right now, right up top?
You know what? That sounds like a lot of effort. Let's just say 1 thing we liked about the show this week.
Okay. Eric, you start. What's 1 thing that you liked about the show this week?
Well, I know that this is something that we're going to get into later, and I know I'm piggybacking off of something that's exciting you as well, but I will say I've really enjoyed Catherine this week on the show. I think she is a breath of fresh air, and I'm really excited by what she's bringing to the show. So I'm excited to see more of her, and I feel like she's the first person that I'm ready to anoint as a potential breakout character of Big Brother 21, and I've enjoyed seeing her blossom into a role that first was not necessarily coming through when last we spoke.
Yeah, okay.
Are you bitches conspiring against me?
Okay. I agree. You had tweeted about this earlier today, that you felt like that she has a Jen Johnson upside.
Oh, yes. She will definitely be taking the uni out of unitard this season. There is no doubt about it. She will be performing, eating. She is really channeling her Jen Johnson realness here. And the thing is, that's a great character. An undeniable, wacky, strong, aloof, crazy person who's going to be dangerous to a lot of people in this house. And I'm here for it. You know, these seasons, they always align for a huge hero to come out of them. When there is a large group at the forefront of the strategy and the fandom hates that group, that has always yielded the biggest breakout characters in the history of the show. I have three examples for you. One, the friendship yielded Janelle and her alliance, super popular as the counter alliance to the friendship. Number two, Jesse, Shima, Lydia, Ronnie, that group yielded Jeff and Jordan. Mm-hmm. They were the only opposition there. And then Paul and his friendship, that yielded Jess and Cody. They were the only opposition to that group. And the outcome of those seasons
had their own share of unlikable things, which were overlooked based on how much people disliked the Paul group.
100%. I mean, all of them did. All of the heroes did in those instances. So we are shaping up to have the potential of our next Big Brother legend, we stan you icon, to come out of the season. And Catherine has to be one of the real contenders for this role right now. I see a few other names in the mix, and I'm curious to hear who you think a breakout anti-hero could be in this situation. But someone's going to have to rise up. I mean, they're not all going to get smashed, or even if they do, someone's going to at least feign an attempt at coming for their crown along the way. And I think that person is primed for huge popularity.
Yeah, I think that Kat is certainly the number one pick on the board to be able to run with that mantle. I think that Nicole and Cliff are probably also in that conversation, and likely whoever returns from Camp Comeback.
Yep, and I'm going to give one outside or slightly outside pick, and I think Sam has a chance as well, because Sam doesn't feel like a total pushover to me, and I know people aren't thrilled that he's out there winning all these things and putting targets on himself, but I do believe that he's someone who wants to win, he's someone who knows the game, and he has a backbone, so I'm going to toss him in the mix as well.
I kind of really want his power, just in case I have the blinds on my eyes and I can't see my fellow house guests stabbing me in the back.
What exactly are the blinds on one's eyes?
Is that a trucker thing? Is it to keep the sun out of your eyes?
Yes, like, I gotta make sure I get that power.
He pulls down like the shades like on a window over his eyes while he's driving.
The sun can be so bright when I'm driving truck.
You've been working on this, Rob. I hear a lot of progress in the impersonation. I think you've got in the high-pitched nature really down now. I'm enjoying this.
Yeah. Eric, okay, for my one positive thing to say about Big Brother 21, I will say that I think that while it has had its flaws, it has also brought us an all-time great Big Brother moment.
Settle down, Beavis.
Where did that come from?
We really need one of our journalist friends to ask her a follow-up question about that. We need Dalton or Mike Bloom or somebody to go in there and say, hey, where was the origin of this?
Yeah.
Obviously, there must have been a production meeting. They must
know.
Be going by Beavis and Butthead in the production room. It's the only possible explanation.
See, when Julie Chen was on the talk, Julie Chen Moonves was on the talk regularly, I think that by the nature of that show, I think that she was sort of forced to keep up with whatever was going on in the popular culture at large. And Julie was forced to, learn new things. But I think that maybe without that daily contact with other people that she's conversing with, I think that she has just reverted back to original Chenbot programming.
So you think that her references are going to be completely off from here? Like on the next live show, it's going to be like, stick with me here, Alf. You know?
Party on, Wayne. Yeah. I think that she's on the same level as we are in terms of references.
It's maybe she... you know, she after she woed Joey Lawrence on Celebrity, she's just now stuck back in a different time and place.
It's almost like that maybe that she is going back to a happy place that for whatever reason might be about 20 years ago. That's maybe where she has regressed to for some strange reason.
It's simpler times back then.
Yeah.
You know, I should...
Muy interesante.
Classic Julie right there. Gotta love her.
Okay.
You know, I do wonder if we're now just giving people disparaging nicknames on the show. We can't be that far off from Mr. Announcer Voice starting to refer to the Grateful Alliance as... like the jack-offs or, you know, the jackasses or something like that. I do feel as if that time is probably coming.
Yeah, well, we are certainly pushing the boundaries in terms of what we're saying and doing on Big Brother. And I think that no clip or diary room moment was better evidence of that than what I submit to you for might be the oofiest moment of the week, Eric.
I've never had this much salad tossed in my face before since kind of bad date a long time ago before the wife.
We're pushing the envelope.
I was rolling when I was watching that, and I've actually spent way too much of my week trying to get into the headspace here, and I've really landed on a true 50-50 as to whether or not he thought he was making like they threw a salad in his face reference, or if he was right there with what the producer was asking for. Because yeah. I think I could go either way on this.
So that Cliff's daughter Kelly, who is a listener of the podcast. As is Cliff, who has shouted out the Summer of Stein. I think he wanted to know how many oofs was he getting. who's being the oofiest house guest, Cliff, if you only knew. So she says that he is aware of the references, that he is fully on board with what's happening.
Of course I know Kelly. That's my new sis. Not to be confused with sis, thankfully.
Differences. Okay. All right. So, Eric, let's talk about our big twist, which was revealed to us on last Thursday's live show about the idea of Camp Comeback. And now we had the return of David, and we have our evicted house guests living in a room in the house. Would love to get your thoughts on Camp Comeback as a twist.
So this is something that I actually like a lot more than some other people do. This is something that when I consulted for MTV's The Challenge, I actually suggested as a potential format wrinkle for them, because there's a lot of bad blood and animosity, and a lot of the gameplay involves trying to sort of dispose of people and not have to deal with the consequences. And I wondered, what would a season look like if you had to deal with the consequences of your actions? But I think they made one mistake, which has resulted in it making the gameplay tentative instead of this blowing up like a huge hot mess that it could have been. And I think they should have gone further with this. I think that the Camp Comeback people should be allowed to play in the competitions. Yes, they're out of the game, but I think that they should still be up for HOH, because then they can seek revenge. I think they could still play the veto and mess with people conceivably. I also think that a wrinkle that might have been interesting is if they were living there but did not have the opportunity to come back into the game proper. Maybe they were playing for a side prize. Maybe they had a America's favorite vote, or they could earn powers that they could use to control the game. Because the problem is, the dangling carrot of them coming back into the game makes it that they can't really act crazy. I want to see these guys get crazy in there. I want to see them hounding people, following them, stalking them around the house, revealing all secrets. Another issue is they don't have any secrets, but the next person out will. You see, they were so David wasn't there, and Ovi was so far out of the loop, he has nothing to blow up. Mm-hmm. If the right person goes out now and they can come back with a vengeance, they have nothing to lose, then they could blow up the game. I would be out there actively lying. I would be completely exposing people for things they did or did not do. And I think that this could have been a hot mess express here. And I just think they got it a little wrong. But I liked the swing.
You like the swing.
And the potential for what it could have been. It's unfortunately just the wrong mix of gameplay and alliances and people right now. But I still have hope that you know, they were sitting on something, I think, that could have been a lot of fun going way back in the reality annals, not to be confused with anything else from this week. I back on the original Paradise Hotel many moons ago, they did something where all of the eliminated people came back, and it was probably the greatest episode of TV I've ever seen because the other people looked like they had seen ghosts. I don't think enough time and enough had sort of transpired that this really had the shock value that it could have had, but they were close. Close, but no cigar.
So your best case scenario for this would have been like Rachel Riley coming back into the house and fighting with Reagan in Big Brother 12.
Exactly. Someone who is supercharged with energy, information, and has absolutely nothing to lose and can actively mess up the game. I think that could have been so much fun. Someone could end up really popular from that, but you have no incentive to do that right now because you'd be re-entering the game with still, you know, what, 13 people or something outrageous still in the game. And if you want any chance of winning, you can't go around like a lunatic or you're going to go right back out of the house. So I think that is forcing them to depress their actions. But I mean, if I were David in there, I guess he just wants the opportunity to play, which he never really had, but mm-hmm. it would be so much more fun and we'd be so much more apt to see him again on a future season if he just went balls to the wall right now and just messed with everybody. And just like you want to see someone play like Chris Underwood came back into Survivor with absolutely nothing to lose, which also Devins did on Survivor, right? We need to see these guys play like they have nothing to lose. Unfortunately, they're playing like they still have something to lose because they do.
Yes. Okay. Well, good. I'm glad you brought that up because we have a question for you from one of our listeners, Claire.
Hey, Rob and Eric. This is Claire. I'm wondering, with the introduction of Camp Comeback and its similarities with a certain recent season of Survivor, how likely is it that Chris Underwood will enter the game at the Final Five and end up taking the W? And would that actually be a better outcome than any of the current contestants winning? Thanks.
Is Chris Underwood the hero that Big Brother 21 needs, Eric? I don't know what Claire is doing. That's the same Claire from that was recently on Robin Akiva Needs a Podcast, who was hit by a car while listening to an episode of Robin Akiva Needs a Podcast.
Does your insurance cover that?
I hope not. I don't think I'm not liable, am I?
I don't know. Were you creating the distraction? Yeah, it's something to talk to someone
we
about.
We might need a disclaimer at the top of the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, listen at your own risk.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I do think that, I mean, isn't that what everyone was clamoring for? They probably went into the production meetings and were like, boy, how can we get our own Chris Underwood here? This is going to be woo-wee. I mean, just like...
yeah. I mean, yeah, this is kind of crazy that, you know, after all of the backlash that we saw about the ending to the Survivor season, how polarizing it was almost like the Big Brother producers went and said, how do we get some of this heat? How do we do our own version of this?
I mean, do we have any proof of the fact that Tyler isn't going to get to enter the game at the Final Five with, you know, 15 weeks of immunity prior to then? Because it's still possible.
Yeah. I think we need to do a check and see if he's in sequester, I guess, or does it matter?
No, I think I've been watching you from home this summer from my lifeguard chair, and I know all your secrets. And now I'm entering the game to show you how it's done.
Yeah.
I wouldn't rule it out.
Well, this is a question for you. I have another voicemail for you. Speaking of that, this other shoe, potentially, here's a question for you from Riley from Canada.
Hey, Rob and Eric, just leaving a question here for Summer Stein. And I was just thinking, We now know what our twists are for the first sort of half or so of the season with the activity comp and the comeback camp. But we all know there's going to at least be one more to be the twist for like the second third of the game, maybe. And given it's this camp theme, what do you guys think is going to be the ridiculous twist in the second third of the game? And how stupid of a name is it going to be? Can they manage to top Wactivity? Also, on a scale of Pauly Calafiore to Glenn, how bad is Jack's social media going to be after this season?
Okay, now what is north and what is south on the scale of Pauly Calafiore to Glenn?
Yeah, I mean, in my estimation, they both have excellent social media.
Both are masters of social media. So
very, very entertaining and very entrepreneurial as well.
Yes, yes. Okay, so Eric, that we know that Big Brother is going to do something. There's a second half twist. There's a back half twist for the season. That has to come. Last season, we got the hacker competition coming for, I forget if that was 2 or 3 weeks, in Big Brother 19. How could we forget the Tree of Temptation, which then allowed a house guest to be able to pick an apple and then go into the diary room and open it. In Big Brother 18, we started getting care packages dropped into the house. So something else is coming. There's a second twist hiding around that corner.
You know, they've been having a lot of animals at the camp experience, right? We saw a giant squirrel man put people into sacks, and then there was maybe some skunks. We saw some snakes as well. Is it possible that animals will invade the game at some point and become active players who you have to vote out? Is that what we might see?
I think that would be universally celebrated.
Yeah, I feel like that would be potentially a great episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at this point, I think they'd be quite rootable as well. So, I mean, if that wasn't on the docket, I think we should at least submit that as a possible suggestion. I mean, well, if you're thinking about things that were as successful and impactful as the Tree of Temptation, they're definitely on the right track with swapping out the veto players. So that should be a good one. I mean, first of all, I can't ignore my own snark. I need to go on a rant about this for a second. Could you imagine if the person who won the competition before you gets to save themselves off the block, protect two people, and replace nominees, and then you get to redraw the veto, which is still a
crapshoot.
Right. 14 people are still in the bag, right? This is not equitable in any which way. Now, I know fairness is really not the name of the game, but you would think that someone in this meeting might have said, you know, guys, we could probably make this a little bit more powerful. Like, at least Christmas was guaranteed to be able to insert herself into the veto. At least that prevents you from being backdoored. This doesn't even necessarily do anything. You could get the exact same pull or an even worse pull, potentially.
Yeah. Well, Eric, that I have on good authority that on Sunday on Big Brother, that it was revealed Jack has a hidden power. And I have on good authority that Jack has a hidden power, which is huge. And as one of the house guests remarked, was the biggest power that they've ever seen.
If you don't think that that's a skill in the game, you're wrong. That could get him a whole bunch of votes.
Huge power. That is the word on the Big Brother streets of Jack has an incredibly huge power, Eric.
The key is how he chooses to leverage it in the game. You know, it's just, is he going to tell his allies or are they going to have to find out on their own?
Finding out one at a time. All right. So we are alluding to the fact there's a lot of showmancing going on in this Big Brother house all of the sudden, perhaps as a precursor to Tuesday night's Love Island extravaganza over on CBS. And on one day, which was over the 4th of Jack-Lie weekend.
It was a 4th of Jack Lai celebration.
Yes, and the fireworks were going off, Eric, as on Jack's birthday, him and Sis got together on the Big Brother live feeds.
Love is alive and well.
Love is alive and well. Yes.
This is beautiful.
Yes. And this is a little bit of live feed stuff, but nothing too consequential. We won't be getting into any game talk. But also on that very same night that we had Nick and Bella getting together as well. Eric, how much do you keep up with the hot goss from the Big Brother live feeds?
Oh, I live for it. Yeah, for sure. This is... getting steamy in there. This is exactly why I watched the show, you know?
Yeah. I'm here for it, too. I gotta be honest.
I actually really am, though. I must say, I am not a fan of shaming people for living their best lives in there. You're locked inside of a house with attractive people. I have no issue with people enjoying themselves. I do think it's regrettable that they do not seem to understand that they are being filmed, but that is really just their own stupidity. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I'm glad they're enjoying themselves. I hope they all find the love of their lives in there. And also, not for nothing, I mean, it is pretty decent game strategy. For all we know, maybe the plan here is just to cozy up to the people in power. Maybe if, you know, whoever, I don't know, you know, maybe if Holly or Jackson or someone else is in power next week, maybe people will show interest in them in the same way.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we're just not realizing this is actually just a big game move.
So, Eric, in the accounts, there was a little bit of some guy talk between Jack and Nick, where Nick confided that after being in the Big Brother house for 18 days, that he only managed to last in the act with Bella for a total of 45 seconds.
Well,
we have some questions for you. I'm just setting this up for anybody. Okay. So this is from Diane, who wants to know, Eric, is 45 seconds an oof, or after going at least 18 days without, is it actually a foo?
I think Diane just nailed it. I think he was going for a brag right here. I don't think the reason people are saying, well, what was his thought process? Why did he volunteer this? I think he was like, dude, it could have been 15 seconds. You know, I think he's feeling quite smugly happy with himself right now.
This is a record for the Big Brother house, is what you're saying?
Yeah, it's right. It's a new endurance competition. First, you wait 18 days, and then on your marks, get set. How many seconds can you last? Last man standing wins the HOH.
Do you think in any way, is this a metaphor for Nick's game?
Yes, I do think he burned fast and bright and then burned out quickly.
Yeah, I think so.
We all had very high hopes for him going into the game.
So did Bella.
Notice Bella did not come away from this conversation.
No, she did not, I would imagine.
With the same accolades that Sis had. She also has never experienced anything like this before.
No.
At least not since high school.
No. The God Butcher on Twitter wanted to know, if Nick is evicted, should production give him a Caitlyn-style puzzle to see if he can get back in? And would 45 seconds be too much time?
I think they should definitely troll him with that. Be like, Nick, we've set the clock at 45 seconds. Can you last, my friend? Nick is going to, now what do you do if you are a therapist, but you need therapy after going through an experience like this? Do you help yourself, or do you go to a colleague? Because Nick is going to, unfortunately, have some trauma to work through after this experience.
Yeah.
This is not a real feather in his cap.
No, it is not. And I don't know, somehow Twitter was on this from the jump, because I've gone back, I see a ton of tweets about Nick has terrible back. bangs. What's with Nick's bangs? Nick's bangs are the worst. So I don't know. Twitter seemed like a very, very prescient on all of this.
Oh, someone has to get a William Hung She Bangs remix of the scene.
Okay. All right. Let's get out of this before we get ourselves into more trouble. How about a segue to Love Island? Love Island is coming up. And Eric, there is no greater expert or historian of the CBS reality pantheon than yourself. Is that fair to say?
I think I'm right there with Kurt Clark, the tabulator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you had tweeted a message to me last night where you wanted to know, Rob, how would you describe your level of excitement for Love Island on a scale of a TKO boob shot, Paul playing Candy Crush while also playing BB, a Kid Nation election, a Pirate Master cancellation, or Mary Scott Valentine on Hunted? And so it was suggested to me, Eric, that we should perhaps try to find where in the timeline, almost imagine like the chart of the evolution of man, of where we have all the way on like a $1 million mile, 2 week run, all the way up to like a full one season run of Kid Nation. Where will we slot Love Island in terms of will it get a full run? Will it last a week? Can you help us place this?
This is a very interesting question, and I do have some insight into this. So back in 2007, Pirate Master was the lead-in to my season of Big Brother. And, you know, when you first move into the house, there are only so many things that you have in common with one another. And one of those was that myself and Zach Swiderski and Danny Donato had all been watching Pirate Master, looking for commercials for our season in the lead-in to moving into the house. So it was a common topic of conversation. And we would always talk on the feeds about, well, what happened? Who's going to win? Is it still on the air? And then the joke sort of became that, it's probably not our lead-in anymore. It was probably canceled. And the three of us got called into the diary room and dead seriously reprimanded, saying, stop with the Pirate Master jokes, guys. We're not supposed to give you information from the outside, but it was canceled. I hope you're happy. Stop talking about it already. We don't need any more attention on this, okay, guys?
Yeah.
So, there have been some tough times, you know, somewhere on the road between Pirate Master and Boob Shot, like from last summer. So, I do not feel great about the prospects. Paradise Hotel did not do very well just a few weeks ago. It is a big, big, big time commitment. It's going to get a few weeks because they already, you know, shot it. We're in production, flew everyone out there for sure. But my enthusiasm on a personal scale of viewing, and then I'll go back to the CBS scale, is right about where I was the day that you spoke to me when I binge watched season one of Fuller House. That's about how I'm feeling sitting down for five episodes of Love Island this week. I will give it 3.5 weeks.
3.5 weeks. I don't think it's going to, its run is going to be too long. I think it's going to be a much like a Big Brother 21 Nick, where I think it's going to burn fast and hot, where I think it's on every night, but I think it's only on for like 4 weeks.
Well, then it's going to make it through the run if that's the case. It's just
it would have to completely crater.
Well, I mean, I think that that's probably not going to happen because after Winston has been promoting it, I feel like that probably drew in a lot of fans. So it's starting out a huge number. You know, it's going to have to really tank from there. And if they keep trotting him out, it should stay strong for 4 weeks.
Yeah. What did you think about that, where we got to see all of the Big Brother 20 couples in Swaley and also Brett and Winston? You got to think Tyler and Angela was hard passed on this, right?
Yeah, I would have rather seen Fessy and JC, not for nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be incredible if we could have had where Fessy talks about how, you know, I've got like a, you know, a great partner that I was able to go out to Love Island with.
Fessy is a moron.
And you see like the top of a bikini strap and then they pan over and it's him and not Haley. Yeah. I think that's great. I feel like if anyone's out there listening, maybe a tall and short of it veto competition where you have to go like above and under things that they host later in the season.
Would be great. We would love that. So there we had Winston really trying to weasel his way into these commercials.
If they did not state his name, yeah, I would have been hard pressed to even tell you who that was. And I've never missed an episode of any of these things. I was really struggling to place him. And I even knew what was happening. You know, it was just really a deep cut by the promotional team there.
Yeah. Do you think that the bromance between Winston and Brett is sort of to blame to this bromance with Jack and Jackson?
Do you have any? Oh, for sure. But do you have any insight into does this bromance still even exist? I mean, I think it's distinctly possible. They haven't spoken since last November.
It is possible. But I think that they did do an event. Ironically, that they had like an event outside of Philadelphia the same night that we did our know-it-alls in Philadelphia. So that's the only awareness that I have about their relationship.
Oh, that must have given a big hit to your audience right there.
Yeah. I also want to know, Eric, it looked like Swaggy C has a new look. I don't follow it super closely on Twitter. What did you think about the new Swaggy C mustache?
I enjoyed that quite a lot, actually.
Yeah. He's got a Lando Calrissian thing going on now.
It was quite distinguished. He's now someone that is not to be taken lightly. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. All right. Well, we know from the success of Blue Bloods that a mustache is what the CBS demographic is looking for.
Maybe that's where he'll show up next.
Yeah. Head on over to Blue Bloods. There was some question.
Tom Selleck on Love Island, possibly.
Yeah, maybe. There was some question of do we think that they were actually in Fiji?
I don't think so. I don't actually understand what was happening there. Yeah. I mean, so did they just time this wrong that they wanted to get it in before the premiere? But then, I didn't really understand actually what was happening because they said, and then in the upcoming veto, you can also win a trip to Fiji. Well, why didn't they just say that before the veto competition? Like, why did we need a preview to the preview of the veto competition?
Because I explain this. Because the veto competition is going to be on Wednesday night's show, and Love Island is premiering on Tuesday night. So you have to be teasing Love Island before Love Island's premiere.
Yeah, well, that was a big stay tuned. I mean, now that I've seen that promo, I will not miss a thing.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they could have had a Love Island themed HOH competition, or where they felt like maybe people would forget about it over the 4th of July weekend. So there's, you know, a lot of different mouths to feed in terms of the CBS schedule.
Why didn't they tap in young Sheldon to do a promo for Love Island instead?
Yeah, he could explain what's going on Love Island. Nick Snow wants to know, is the big twist of BB21 that this is actually a qualification event for the next season of Love Island?
You know, I it's funny how up on our high horse we are as Big Brother fans, as if this is like a dead serious game of strategy.
Yes.
I see comments all over social media. Boy, this has really devolved into just a regular Love Island out there. What do you think it's been for the last decade? I mean, these are grown adults who go on television. We're averaging 3 showmances a season. We wear costumes. You know, we're already on Love Island. They're just doubling down on it now. You know, let's not, you know, act like Big Brother is so esteemed in the first place here. I think that they're actually great bedmates. And what I really am excited about for the Big Brother 21 house guests is that now they'll get to do promotional and charity and events with the Love Island cast. So they'll actually have a greater pool to hook up with after the show is over, which is fantastic for them.
Wow. So you think that we're going to have some intermingling going on with people who are on Love Island hooking up with Big Brother contestants? Or do you think that Love Island season two is going to feature showmances from Big Brother?
Oh, no, I think it's going to be intermingling, but you're probably right. It'll probably be both, actually. But I mean, I can't even tell you how many times I've seen Big Brother contestants take a roll in a hay with someone from the glass house. So,
yeah. I'm pumped up for Love Island. I'm going to be watching the premiere. I'm going to be on the premiere episode of our wrap up with Kirsten McInnes and Brian Scally. So I am here for it.
I don't know if you heard this, but CBS released a statement today that this is appointment viewing, just like Game of Thrones, they say.
Yes.
You do not want to wait for the recap. It'll be too late. It will be spoiled. This is like the Super Bowl. This is live event viewing. Do not miss it. Don't put it on the DVR. Watch it live or you're going to regret it.
Yeah. Eric is not joking around. I'm seeing this from the Hollywood Reporter. Love Island boss compares U.S. version to Game of Thrones. You don't want to wait for a recap.
You know, in other news, the Summer of Stein is just like the Joe Rogan Experience. You know, it's just a mega, mega podcast. Millions of people downloading this every single time. Do not wait. Run to download it. This is the biggest thing out there right now.
Yeah. You know, we typically on Rob's podcast say, you know, try to keep the expectations low. And then, you know, if you meet them, then you can declare victory.
I'm looking forward to them continuing to trot out the big guns for this. Maybe we will see Chris Underwood in a promo for Love Island. You know, all the superstars of CBS are coming out. It's the company motto of the week. Watch Love Island. Watch it live. Love it. Learn to love it. Not for nothing. The UK show is a legitimately entertaining show. There was a huge bidding war over this. So we'll see what happens. Maybe I'm optimistic. Trust me when I say I don't want these things to bomb. I want networks out there taking big swings and going back to 2002 Fox for crazy big TV formats. So I hope that this is a huge hit and we are covering it for years to come.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure it will be.
I mean, I don't want to be hyperbolic, but Eric, this is the biggest network TV reality swing, no pun intended here for Love Island. I would say since Utopia. Is that unfair to
exactly
say?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Unfortunately, Utopia ended up being a $40 million bomb for the networks. However, yes, I love to see them out there going for it. So, right. I mean, if we as viewers want to see big new things out there that we can be following, you know, 21 seasons from now, we got to be out there supporting them. So let's just hope it's good.
Okay. All right. Eric, let's bring in some more questions for you from the listeners. And you know, I got some questions for you about Jack. People do not seem to really, unlike Sis, be feeling Jack too much. Do you have any thoughts on our leading man in terms of our Big Brother TV show?
Well, the problem is, and we covered this a bit last year as well on the Summer of Stein, is that the Big Brother fandom, they like underdogs. For the most part, we are underdogs, right? So nobody is trying to go back to high school and get shoved in a locker by Jack. You know, Jack has book dropped either metaphorically or literally several of us in our lifetime, right? So it's not a super rootable thing to see the guy who has gotten what he wanted with the good looks out there picking on the more marginalized people or people who are outside of the cool kids crew. However, that being said, I do think that we're coming down on the majority alliance just a bit too much because you still have an opportunity to ingratiate yourself. That the social game in Big Brother, it's a real thing. And yes, there are people who maybe gravitate towards each other more than others, but you do have an opportunity to get yourself involved in these groups. And some people did, and some people didn't. So I don't begrudge them for being out in front. But it has been very interesting. And I guess this is not uncommon for Big Brother, but there does seem to be a real disparity between the Jack that the live feed watchers are coming to know and the Jack that we're seeing on the TV show.
Okay.
Jack on the TV show, we see is a sure-handed guy who came out to an early lead out of the gates and is hanging on for it. And he's having fun in there, you know, his six shooters and this and that. I don't think we're seeing a lot of really objectionable stuff on the show. The people who are spending more time with the show and watching the feeds, they are seeing a very different Jack than what's being presented to us. So I do think it's a bit of a disconnect. So what I'm wondering for you is, what do you think that the average at-home casual viewer is taking away from Jack at this point? Because I don't think he necessarily is coming across particularly villainous to the TV-only audience.
Oh, definitely not. I think that he has been presented almost universally in a positive way. And I'd say that there was one episode where he was really pushing his will on Christy, where he had wanted Kemi to go up as the veto replacement. But based on the last two episodes of the show, that is largely blown over for TV Jack.
Yeah, but I'm still not seeing his road to popularity even on the TV show. Mm-hmm. You know, Big Brother is a long summer and it relies on those swings back and forth. So I think the peak of Jack popularity will be him getting his comeuppance. That will be the most rootable moment in Jack's Big Brother trajectory.
Well, could you tell me this? We have a question about Jack from Danger Dave, and let's see if we can figure out if Dave is a TV show watcher or a live feed viewer.
Booyah. What's up, Rob? Eric, it's Danger Dave from Nassau. Just wanted to say bangarang, booyah, and Jack, more like jack off. Thanks.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
It's the prevailing wisdom so far on Jack. How about another voicemail? Are you the voicemailers are out of control. Here's one from somebody who calls themselves Cheeks.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Eric. This is Cheeks calling in. Hey, first off, Eric, you're my dad. So does that make Cliff my granddad? And my second question is, what lasted longer in the house? Was it Jack's reputation, or was it Nick? Thanks a lot.
You know what's always interesting is that I don't remember birthing Cheeks at any time.
But yeah.
So I don't know if I'm his dad. That's just an existential crisis. But you know what is actually interesting to me is that Jack's reputation in the house is fine. And it's not really that off the rails. Every single season has several Jacks. You know, that's really, it's just a question of who's there and how long it takes for them to get their comeuppance. You know, we had Jax and we voted them out. You know, one who really comes to mind is, and this is a real deep cut, I don't think if I could produce any information about this man, but, you know, Jeremy on Big Brother 15.
Jeremy McGuire, yeah.
Yeah, he was a real Jack. He was telling people, you know, they can't drink the wine. And he was in control, presumably, of a popular cool kids alliance. And he went home in what, week 3, 4, something like that this season. The thing is there an Andy or a Helen who are there to oppose the Jack? That's really how the two seasons shake out on Big Brother. You either have someone shut down the Jacks right away, or the Jacks get a lot of rope and last a lot longer into the season. But, you know, from an in-house perspective, I think if you polled most people, I think they'd be pro-Jack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if we end up with some sort of a counter resistance to the main power, which is 8 or 6, depending on the day and the time, because we are running out of numbers, though. If there is not a crack in the actual alliance, then, you know, we're losing time quickly in terms of us, and then somebody will come back, but not before two more people go out.
It has to come from within. All of the hopes of the outliers coming together and forming a power group, I think that that is fan fiction for sure. But I do think that a situation like, for example, Dan and Memphis aligning with Keisha and Rennie, I think something like that could happen where we're taking elements of Grateful and then maybe they team up with some of the outsiders. I think that's the only hope that we actually have here. Is there a time that a Tommy, is there a time that a Sam who's on the, you know, outskirts, is it time that the women of Grateful have an uprising or a resistance? But maybe not. Maybe they just coast to the end, you know, bomb squad detonator style, and that's that.
Right. And where the rubber is going to meet the road on all of this, is that a drive truck metaphor? It's going to be when somebody who is not in the Grateful core wins HOH. That's when we'll see what's really up in this season. I can remember as far back as Big Brother 5 where, the four horsemen keep winning HOH. Are they just going to run the whole season like this? And no, then you have somebody who's not in power wins HOH, and then that'll be the true test.
Yeah, oh, for sure. But then you have situations like on Big Brother 19 where Jessica finally wins HOH and ends up getting Ramses out of the house. You know, so it's
right.
So if that happens, if we end up losing
the
seventh member of the alliance side, or someone not even in the right. And actually, I think that that's something that we are seeing, which is a little disconcerting with the House vote last week. What do they actually think they're gaining by voting with the majority alliance? And I understand you don't want to stick your neck out, but it's not like, now the alliance trusts you, or you're not, you're in their good graces and they're not coming for you. Nope. You've just, put your tail between your legs and done their bidding along with them. And, you know, I think it would be nice to see someone just out front saying, I see what's going on here and I need to do something about it. Although, truthfully, at the final, 14 or 16, as it were, is really not the time to do it. So we can only hope that someone is just sitting around biding their time, waiting for those cracks to form. But it's going to be a bit down the road.
Okay, Eric, I have a lot of snake questions for you. Of course, this weekend, 4th of July weekend in the Big Brother house, there was a considerable amount of snake handling.
Most certainly.
Yes.
How many of these questions also involve Jack and or Sis?
Well, let's see. Let me go see what we have for you. John Tinkham wants to know, what was the more epic defanged snake moment? The Wactivity comp or when Macho Man Randy Savage got bit by Jake the Snake Roberts' snake?
I think it would have been brilliant if someone got bit by the snakes. I think that would have been a way more dangerous and chaotic competition, right? If it was like one of these snakes is venomous, good luck, you know. Mm-hmm. But I do recall as a child seeing that snake bite, and it was actually quite harrowing. So I will say that WWE actually provided a greater moment in toothless snake history than this week. And that actually does remind me of something, a total non sequitur, not to get us off track, because we will come back to snakes in a second. But I have seen that there is a new online company that sells button down short sleeve shirts, much like the ones that you fancy, Rob, right?
Yes.
And they have prints of them. And two of the things that they are really touting are old school WWE t-shirts, which is what made me think of it. They have Macho Man t-shirts, in fact, but they also have Saved by the Bell button downs that have Kelly, Slater, Zach, and Screech on them. So if a wager comes somewhere later in the Summer of Steins season, mm-hmm, and one of us owes each other a gift, I do believe we should probably be gambling some classy Saved by the Bell button down apparel.
You got it. Anytime. We'll put something on the line, and the listeners should send us some suggestions if they have them. Summer of Stein at robhasawebsite.com or robhasawebsite.com/voicemail. All right. Eric,
back
to the snakes. Golden SRL asked us, would you rather displace these three snakes for chaos power, or would you rather prefer to keep the relationship you have with snakes now?
Mm. This is
stay crushing it.
A tried and true Big Brother Sophie's Choice moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I hear about this every off season. Well, my current relationship with snakes is close to non-existent. I have not been told anything about my snakes or snake handling in any mm-hmm. recent time. I don't have any snakes. I have never had to place snakes anywhere. So I'm fine with my current relationship. But the thing is, what about a giant snake?
Yeah.
Right.
Huge
snake. That is, yeah, that would be a whole other thing. So I don't know. How about you? How are you with snakes?
I would be comfortable with the non-existent relationship I have with snakes right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's good. I'll take that, Big Jeff. Okay. Derek Unthank wants to know, Sam had indicated that he would get a snake tattoo if he could. As far as I'm aware, the world's tattoo artists haven't banned snake tattoos, and Sam already has some tats. So what are the top three reasons preventing Sam from getting his coveted snake tattoo? Hashtag stay crushing it. Hashtag Summer of Stein.
Well, I would have to assume that the first thing that is stopping him is good judgment.
Good judgment. You
know? Right. And he needs to look no further than the recent competition winner, Casey, to see what happens when inside of the Big Brother house, you make a proclamation that you are going to get a Big Brother inspired tattoo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know it's important to keep your word in the Big Brother house, but this is not the time and place to do so. You do
good,
not.
Good point.
Yes. Good point. I actually am familiar with at least one, if not more, past Big Brother house guests who ended up getting cover-ups over their Big Brother tattoos.
Oof.
That's yeah. right.
Now, was this Big Brother inspired, or does Sam just want a snake tattoo? Because Sam did not even win this competition.
Yeah, so you don't think he wanted to, like, commemorate his time losing this competition?
That was so fun. I gotta get a tattoo.
He's gonna pull the blinds over his eyes and go into the tattoo parlor.
Yeah, much like Paul Calafiore had to do a couple months back.
So that could be something. He's gonna go on How Far Is Tattoo Far?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'd be good. He'd be good on that.
And he goes on with Jack. Jack gets him a giant snake.
Yeah. Do you think that Sam's wife doesn't want him to get a tattoo of a snake?
That could be the second reason, possibly. It also could be like, what would a tattoo of a snake really look like? You know, just be like a coiled line, basically. You know, I know they can get into some graphic detail, but it's not like, I don't think it would be very impressive.
Yeah. Where do you get it also? Where do you get that tattoo?
Yeah, I don't love it. I don't love it. I hopefully
maybe he doesn't have the real estate that Jack might have.
Mm. Well, that would actually be a good place for it, though.
Menacing. Yeah, menacing.
That'd be cool as it, you know, it lunges out and then recoils.
Yeah, that would be good. Eric, this is a question from Joe Stisak's one Iowa staffer on Twitter. Would Ricky Williams have had an unfair advantage during the hallucinogenic animal urine wactivity competition?
I feel like he probably has played that one in his real life before. So yeah. I would say for sure. He's probably, what is it called? Like when you like, you know, go out into the environment for like, you know, 48 hours and like become one with the universe or something like that, like some sort of a cleanse or a you know, I feel like he's probably been out there in a field of bobcat urine at one time or another.
I feel like I'm like high off of manure and like, I don't know, bobcat pee.
I yeah. mean, considering
like a vision
what
quest.
Yes, yes, exactly. I think considering what I've seen out of Big Brother house guests after they get off the show, would not be surprising if some of this crew got together to smoke some bobcat pee at some point. So I guess we'll get reports.
Okay. Frank says, given the camp theme, should JC from last season be brought back as a camp chef for a week and force everyone to eat his delicious meat sauce, maybe even bug juice with real bugs inside? Ho, ho, ho. Eat up, my pretties.
Come on and get nice and fat, my sweeties.
Oh, my God. I would be over the moon with joy if he hosts a competition and he keeps slopping scoopfuls of beef sauce onto their plates and you just have to keep eating in a true eating glutton bowl style competition where the laugh last beef sauce eater standing wins.
I made pasta with hot dogs, ground beef, and everything I found around the house. This is like a beef sauce.
Nick, sis, we've put 45 seconds on the clock. Who can ingest the most beef sauce? Right. You think that's the noise that he made at the end of the 45 seconds?
Should Big Brother have gotten Paul to come back in his snake costume that he wore in Big Brother 19 to host the competition in the Wactivity round two?
Oh, that is a missed opportunity. What's happened to Paul? Where's he been?
Yeah, I don't know if he's following the show too closely.
Yeah, I mean, his band's blowing up, so, you know, it takes a lot of time. He's off to greener pastures.
Yeah, it seems like it. I follow him on social media. It's a lot of stuff about Van Alden.
Mm. Yes.
But remember, he famously was going to dress up like a snake because Dominique was such a snake in the house.
Yeah, what a memorable moment that was.
Yes, yes. Well, we haven't hit that level yet.
We're getting close. Oh, wait, hold on. Sorry, I feel myself slipping. I got to keep feeding the positive here.
Keep feeding the positive.
We can only hope to have moments as iconic as that this season, and there are several to come.
Yeah. Okay. Last couple of questions. This is one for you from the fake saucy wants to know, who would be your top tips for the so bad they're good Hall of Fame? Do you have anybody in that pantheon, Eric?
Now, are we talking, do you think personality or game performance? I mean, what are we rating this on?
So the fake saucy nominates Devin, Catherine, and you.
I'm hurt. It's fine. I wasn't great.
So.
Zing! Zing. I mean, I think the two that come to mind at the head of the class have to be Devin and Ronnie. They have to be our top. Maybe they made some mistakes in the game. Maybe their games went off the rails a little bit. But man, did they deliver for the 4 weeks they were in the house. You know, I think that's all you can hope for in casting. You're not supposed to like everyone. That's not fun. You have to have people to root for and root against. It's just that some seasons they forget the people to root for. That's the problem. They may have been missing from some certain equations, but you know, we're going to find our people. We're going to find our people. There's still time. People get too ahead of themselves. There are a lot of seasons, like, you know, where nothing that great happened for 2 weeks. You know, most seasons take a little bit to warm up. We should not be swearing this season off yet. We should be looking forward to when our heroes arise and when these iconic moments like Paul and the Snake happen. You know, we still have so many great things to look forward to this summer.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, things have to get bad before there can be real change up in the power dynamics.
That's right. I mean, that's like a metaphor for my life. You know, I spent 10, 20 years hitting rock bottom, and now even the slightest improvement feels like a world of promise, you know? So if we're starting at a really low bar of hopes and dreams for the fandom, then if we just get like an okay next week, then everyone's things are looking up, right? And then we will hit a pinnacle. So I agree. I think this is good. This is setting us up for an exciting summer ahead.
Okay. All right. And then, Eric, last question. Samantha Joy says, will Kat start selling the Are You Bitches Conspiring Against Me t-shirts and hats when she gets out, or just stick with the t-shirts?
Already printed t-shirts and hats for sure.
Already, do you think she came into this with a merchandise line? She ordered 5,000 Are You Bitches Conspiring Against Me hats and then went into the house with a single-minded focus to make that happen.
I expect at least 18 SKUs to appear on the website.
Conspiring against me?
Booty shorts. Leggings, jeggings, sports bras, bathing suits, one piece and two piece. For sure. And you want to know what? She should enjoy every second of it, because they will be the last $800 that she makes from this show.
Yeah. When are we coming out with our line of Settle Down Beavis hats?
Settle Down Beavis.
You don't think those are on the CBS website? What if that's like her new catchphrase? It's like once a live show, she works it in.
Yeah. Will there be a Beavis and Butthead reboot? How come that hasn't happened yet?
Are they going to tie this in? Because you know, backstage, they must have loved this when she fired this off. Will we be seeing a Jack Jackson Beavis and Butthead segment on an upcoming Sunday show?
Boy, will anybody get that? I know that CBS does skew older. Are we the target demo of CBS?
What if they go totally off the rails and do like a 90-second animated segment where they do actual Beavis and Butthead style drawings of them?
Yeah.
I do think this is going to be a tough sell, because I do believe that there is a new fandom in, BB Universe. I think since Frankie, I think we've sort of regenerated the population. So I don't think there are that many original day one ride or dies left from our generation.
Okay. All right. Eric, you've done a great job of feeding the positive today. Do you think people are feeling any better about what we are into this summer?
No.
No.
But I hope so.
Yeah. Okay. Could you give me a best case scenario for an HOH next week for Thursday?
Let's think about this.
Yeah.
What would really potentially blow up the game here?
Do you think Kemi could stay? Is that possible?
Not super likely.
I'm
I think the best case scenario for an HOH is whoever comes off the block this week going right into, which, you know, in Big Brother history does happen quite frequently. There, the universe and Big Brother gods do have a tendency to take people who are closely involved in the storyline or just coming in and out of power or danger.
Yeah.
And, you know, bringing them to the forefront next week. So I think Kemi or Jessica HOH is our best case scenario.
Yeah, but I feel like a Jessica HOH could be like a try to appease Jack week of being the HOH, where it's that it's almost like that Ramsey's going home week that you brought back into mind.
I think the problem is then there probably is no best case scenario, because I think Cliff does the same thing. And I think Nicole is a smart enough player to, you know, you don't want to win the battle, but not the war. So let's just say Nicole wins HOH for argument's sake, and she puts up Jack and Jackson and one of them goes home. What does that mean other than the following week, one of seven remaining people win HOH and she's guaranteed to go home? So in the long game of it all, I'm not sure that there is a best case scenario or a likely scenario that a big move or a big shakeup goes down this week. I mean, I really do think that the obvious person that we are awaiting here is Tommy. The question is, does he have a need or a desire to break it up, or is he just going to roll with this and be the last man standing from his crew, you know, straight to the end? If I were having to put money down on anyone in this house right now, it would be you know, him number one with the bullet by a long shot, with probably, you know, some of his other right-hand associates right below him on the pecking order. It's very hard in present day to dream up a scenario in which most of these people win the game. There are very, very few potential winners already in the house, I would say.
Yeah. I would say that I'll say best case scenario for Thursday is a Nick HOH. And as we've well documented in this podcast, I think he'll go ahead. He'll shoot his shot, and he may not last very long in the game. But I do think that that is our best chance to I think he could be the one who might take a shot at Jack.
I think that it would be great if he was the HOH during a live show double. So that way Julie can be really getting on him like, Nick, we're live. We need you to go. We need you. We only have 45 seconds here.
Problem.
You got to make your nominations. You're on the clock, buddy.
Would not be a problem. He would be the one person that they would be able to just move the show right along.
I think that you know, Nick and Bella certainly are going to play a pivotal role in the comings and goings of the season for sure.
Okay, there you go. All right, do they have a showman's name? Are we Nella?
Let's see. Is a Nick?
A Nick?
Yeah.
From Big Brother Canada?
Yes. She stands them.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. What about Jack and Sis as well? Sis Jack? Jack Sis?
Jiss? Does that work? Does that work?
Oof. No.
No, we're not good. That doesn't work. all right. We'll keep workshopping. Sack? No. Okay. We'll keep working on a new nickname for Jack and Sis.
Anal Jack?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound right.
Okay. All right. We'll keep working it. All right. So Eric Stein at Eric Stein tweets. Anything you want to tell people to check out?
No. I'm not doing anything other than watching Big Brother. And soon, you know, I had to clear my summer schedule to make time for Love Island. So I do have actually one final question for you. Where was my father, Cliff, in last night's episode?
He hasn't been in the show too much the last couple nights.
I might be wrong. I think he might have literally not been in the show.
Did he leave?
Is it possible, right? So like we may need to send out a where in the world is Cliff or you know, where's Waldo
in the world is Cliff Hogg?
Yeah. I'd love that.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe did he go to Love Island? Did he win a trip there?
Yes. Maybe he's on set. He's the next in a long line of maybe Dino the dog likes that idea. He's getting fired up over here. Maybe he is in Fiji promoting the show. Like, you know, Tyler went on TKO and Paul went straight from the house to Candy Crush. And maybe Cliff is there for the premiere of Fiji. And he's doing both at the same time.
Yeah. Well, he is an authority on the bad dates since that one time that he had tossed salad.
Maybe that's their first competition.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll be tuned in to Love Island, certainly on Tuesday night. So be on the lookout for that. All right. We've got a lot more coming up this week. We'll be back live after the Wednesday night and Thursday night episodes of Big Brother. Michelle Costa is going to join us on Wednesday night. Caitlin Herman will be here in the studio. I will be on the live feed update with Taryn on Wednesday morning. Eric, how about that?
Whoa, Rob, this is big doings. This is going to be a trip for you, no doubt. Are you concerned about a lack of sleep leading into it?
I am concerned, but I have long wanted to give it a shot. So I said, let me sign up for it for Big Brother 21.
Holy cannoli!
I am excited. This is going to be a fun ride to see you immerse yourself deep in down the spiral of the live feeds for such a long, dedicated period of time. I know you're in there, you know, following along, but I think this is going to take it to a whole other level. Yeah. This is very exciting to me.
All right. I'm looking forward to that. Of course, thanks to the patrons of Rob's podcast, who make all of this podcasting nonsense possible. Find out more about everything we're doing in the Rob's podcast patron group and our patron podcast feed at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Eric, I saw that you had made an observation recently about the new theme music at the end of the nomination ceremony on Big Brother. You had tweeted, "Ha, at Rob Sestrino and I broke the post nominations outro music. Hashtag BB21, hashtag RHAP, hashtag Summer of Stein." Eric, what gives? What happened here?
So as it so turns out, we thought that Big Brother was probably the one who was, you know, bringing down the copyright hammer on us on YouTube. But it so turns out, nope, they were actually in trouble for it also.
Mm,
right? Yeah. Shouldn't have gone to one of those websites just and just
ripped
started
off that music on YouTube.
Right. Yeah, right. Jingle Punks is not happy right now.
So they too did not license the music properly, is what you're saying?
That's what it seems like, because otherwise I do not think they would have changed it. And boy, they should have listened to a few more tracks before they stole another one, because this is horrific. It feels like we're going back to, 2000 and like the premiere episodes. The music seems dated. It's not intense. It's not exciting. I was very, very shocked to hear this on the episode.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good.
It's going to be very difficult also for us to recreate the music, because I don't know how it goes. So now we have to make our mouth music, as they say.
No, actually, we'll still use the old one. We'll still use the old music.
Okay, okay, thank goodness.
So do you want to hear the new music again?
I would love to.
Okay. All right. Here is the new music that we are hearing on Big Brother 21.
The power of veto, and will it be used to save either Cliff or Catherine from eviction? Find out Tuesday at 8, 7 Central on Big Brother.
Yeah,
I think that's the exact music that teed up Julie to give a "whoa, that's wild" back in the premiere episode
19 years ago this past week. Okay. All right. So thanks to Corey B, we are able to share with you our own outro music, where we will tease what will be going on in 2 weeks when Eric and I get back together for the third edition of the Summer of Stein here in Big Brother 21. Wait until Eric Stein sees what's coming up in 2 weeks, because then we'll know who's going to be coming back from Camp Comeback and how it's going to be Nick in 44 seconds.
Rob might think he's the King Cobra or Python of this house right now, but when I'm done with him, I'm going to turn him into nothing more than a flaccid garden snake.
What will happen in 2 weeks of Big Brother 21? Will it be worse than you could even imagine? Find out in 2 weeks on the next edition of The Summer of Stein.
When I wake up in the morning and I'm feeling dread and loathing, there's a pounding in my weirdly shaped head. By the time I check my Twitter and start feeling sad and bitter, I regret my day already, wish I'd stayed in bed. I'm not fine, but it's a summer of Stein.